Let's read together Deuteronomy chapter 13. In this chapter, we have commands dealing with the elimination of false teachers and their teaching in order to preserve the purity of the faith of God's people. Deuteronomy chapter 13, beginning with verse 1. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, "Let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them," you shall not listen to the words of that false prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him, and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage, to entice you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall put away the evil from your midst. If your brother, the son of your mother, your son or your daughter, the wife of your bosom, or your friend, who is as your own soul, secretly entices you, saying, "Let us go and serve other gods which you have not known, neither you nor your fathers, of the gods of the people which are all around you, near to you or far from you, from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth," you shall not consent to him or listen to him, nor shall your eye pity him, nor shall you spare him or conceal him, but you shall surely kill him. Your hand shall be first against him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people. And you shall stone him with stones until he dies, because he sought to entice you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So all Israel shall hear and fear, and not again do such wickedness as this among you. If you hear someone in one of your cities, which the Lord your God gives you to dwell in, saying, "Corrupt men have gone out from among you and enticed the inhabitants of their city, saying, 'Let us go and serve other gods which you have not known,' then you shall inquire, search out, and ask diligently. And if it is indeed true and certain that such an abomination was committed among you, you shall surely strike the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying it, all that is in it, and its livestock with the edge of the sword. And you shall gather all its plunder into the middle of the street, and completely burn with fire the city and all its plunder for the Lord your God. It shall be a heap forever. It shall not be built again. So none of the accursed things shall remain in your hand, that the Lord may turn from the fierceness of his anger and show you mercy, have compassion on you, and multiply you, just as he swore to your fathers, because you have listened to the voice of the Lord your God to keep all his commandments, which I command you today, to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord your God." Let's begin our study of this chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 13, with some background notes. The first of the Ten Commandments is, "You shall have no other gods before me," Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 7. The second commandment is, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me." Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. You remember, you have the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, but they're repeated here in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Now, the importance of these first two commandments is certainly seen here in Deuteronomy chapter 13, the chapter before us, because we see in this chapter that the death penalty was demanded for false prophets who promoted the worship of any god besides the one true God. And the death penalty was also to be carried out in reference to anyone following such false teaching, including the elimination of a whole town if they were seduced into departing from the Lord to follow false gods. Now, such discipline may seem to us at first to be too harsh, especially when it came to the death penalty for close relatives. But think it through in the light of the rest of biblical teaching. If families began to follow a false god, they would all end up in hell forever, which is far worse than removing the close relative who was leading the whole family to a lost eternity. We see in verse 9 that the one who brought the charge had to throw the first stone. This law would certainly keep false charges to a minimum. And notice that in the case of a town that was reported to have been seduced by a gang of false teachers, verse 13, a thorough investigation had to be carried out first before any action was taken. And if and when that action was taken, nothing was to be saved from that city. Everything was to be burned, and that city was not to be rebuilt. These laws prevented anyone from profiting in any way from false accusations that someone might be tempted to make. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for Deuteronomy chapter 13. Doctrinal point number one, the success of false teachers is a test of the believer's faith. The success of false teachers is a test of the believer's faith. Verse 3, once again, you shall not listen to the words of that false prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. We see in verses 1 and 2 that God would actually allow a false prophet to do signs and wonders as part of the test. Verses 1 and 2, once again, if there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that false prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, this was not some kind of sting operation by God to try and trap the people. No, this was a test of the heart of God's people. Would they believe him and would they obey him? God had clearly communicated to them that he was the one true God, and they were not even to inquire about other gods and foreign religions. Signs and wonders were not the bottom line of a prophet. It was whether or not that prophet followed and proclaimed the word of the Lord. As the faith of Israel was tested by the so-called success of these false prophets doing signs and wonders, so the faith of believers today is tested by the success of false prophets, some even doing signs and wonders. Why is it that when we hear of someone doing signs and wonders, many Christians just assume that that person was sent by God and is preaching the truth? That preacher may be a false prophet. The signs and wonders may not be from God at all. Remember what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23 about false prophets. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. Notice that the Lord did not deny that they did signs and wonders, even in his name, but they were false prophets. So there will be false prophets, and they will have very successful, quote-unquote, ministries, including signs and wonders, as part of their package. And God allows this apparent success as a test for true believers. Will we be taken in by the false teaching of false prophets? Or will we follow the clear teaching of the Word of God? The success of false teachers is a test of the believer's faith. Doctrinal point number two, the judgment of false teachers is a test of the believer's faithfulness. The judgment of false teachers is a test of the believer's faithfulness. In this chapter, we have three cases where the death penalty was to be carried out in reference to false teaching. False teaching that led people to turn away from the Lord to follow false gods. First, there was the false prophet covered in verses 1 through 5, as we've seen. Second, there was the near relative or close family friend who led the extended family away from the Lord into idolatry. That case is covered in verses 6 through 11. And finally, there is the case of a whole town given over to idolatry. The death penalty in all of these cases would accomplish three important things and are reasons why it was commanded. Number one, it would purge evil from among God's people. The end of verse 5. So you shall put away the evil from your midst. Number two, it would be a severe warning to all of Israel. Verse 11. So all Israel shall hear and fear, and not again do such wickedness as this among you. And number three, it would be a test of the faithfulness of God's people. Would they follow the command of the Lord in this important matter? Well, we know the answer. Read the rest of the history of the Old Testament. False prophets did arise in Israel, and they were not dealt with except during times of revival. But many times it was too little too late, and idolatry did sweep through Israel, both in the northern kingdom of Israel and in the southern kingdom of Judah, even to the point of child sacrifice to the foreign gods. God's people proved unfaithful to the commands of Deuteronomy chapter 13. Now what about us? The Mosaic law ended with Christ, so there is no death penalty within the church. The church is not a theocracy as Israel was. However, the church is called upon to deal with false teachers and eliminate false teaching. False teaching cannot be tolerated, and false teachers within the church must be silenced and excommunicated if need be. Read 1 Timothy chapter 1 and Titus 1 in this connection. The judgment of false teachers is serious business and is a real test of the church's faithfulness to the Word of God. The church cannot play games here. The judgment of false teachers is a test of the believer's faithfulness. Now, what about practical application from Deuteronomy chapter 13? Don't tolerate vestiges of idolatry. Don't tolerate vestiges of idolatry. We saw in verses 16 through 18 that any town in Israel that turned away from the Lord to other gods was to be completely destroyed and never to be rebuilt again. No vestiges of idolatry were to remain. Now, do you see the spiritual picture and application here for us? Are there any vestiges of idolatry still present in our lives? What about the music we like, for example? Are the lyrics in line with a Christian worldview and biblical values? Or are we tolerating vestiges of idolatry from our days before we met the Lord? What about the movies we enjoy? Are there any false gods being worshipped and exalted with our approval? 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5 indicates that we should bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and that we should not tolerate anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Don't tolerate vestiges of idolatry. How many would say we need to examine our lives on that one? So you can see Deuteronomy chapter 13 is very practical. They were to burn everything. Nothing was to remain. Don't tolerate vestiges of idolatry.